It's almost noon, shortly after the close of our last episode. As you know, Perry Mason's best chance for smashing the crime syndicate, his only chance for saving Suzanne Barclay's life, is to force Suzanne out of hiding, learn what she knows, put her secret enemies behind bars. But even if Mason's plan works, it could result in tragedy. August Jansen knows what Mason's doing. And now, as Gus drives to his meeting with Albert Dallow, a deadly instrument of destruction rests on the car seat beside him. More of Gus in a few moments. First, in the office of Homicide Lieutenant Arthur Trag.
Yeah, Martin. Did you tell him I'm here? Yeah. Oh, wait, Martin. Right after Mason comes in here, you phone me back. Never mind. I'll do the talking. You phone me.
Well, hello, Trag.
Mason. Della.
Hi, Lieutenant. How's Harriet?
Great, Della. Just great.
And how are you?
Well, now you ask me, I'm a little tired, a little stale.
Oh?
You know how it is, Mason.
Hmm? How what is, Trent?
All winter long, the sun don't shine. You gotta keep the windows closed, radiators turned on. But now the sun is shining, birds singing. It's perfect fishing weather.
Fishing?
Yeah. There's just one fly in the ointment. Oh, excuse me.
Hmm.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, Martin. You did? Well, that's great. Wonderful. Well, we got the boat.
A bunch of us chartered a boat and a guide, and we fixed our schedule so we get a day and a half off at the same time. The day and a half starts in 1 hour. I've been thinking about my fishing trip all winter long. Nothing's going to keep me from going. Nothing. Oh, now listen. All we've talked about is my fishing trip, but... What's on your mind, Mason?
Well, frankly, Trag, I have a problem in connection with my fishing trip.
Hmm? What are you fishing for?
A lovely young girl. And my problem is to keep her from being killed when she goes to her mother's funeral this afternoon. And I have also got to keep her mother from being killed.
What?
Yes, yes. You see, her mother is going to her own funeral.
Going to her own funeral?
That's right. Well, you're in a hurry, and frankly, so am I. This is a very tricky proposition. I came to you because I thought you'd find it intriguing in a professional way.
Of course, we didn't know that you'd planned to go fishing.
I am going fishing, and nothing's going to stop me.
Exactly.
But I've got time to listen. Maybe I can give you some advice.
I'll take more than that, Frank. Well, there must be a dozen men in the department who... Lieutenant Raymond. I've heard Raymond is a good man.
Raymond, that clown? Oh, he's okay, but... What's the deal, Mason?
You know what I'm doing, Frank.
Well, in a general way. We've discussed it in department head meetings. You're investigating the auto theft syndicate.
And I need Suzanne Barclay's information. The girl disappeared months ago.
I read where Suzanne's mother was killed in an accident.
Phony accident. Mrs. Barclay is alive and well.
Oh, I get you. You expect the girl to come to last services for her mother. Hmm? What's your problem?
A man called Gus. Suzanne ran away because she's afraid of this man called Gus. We can't identify him. But we do know he's a vicious killer. We also know he's a key member of the syndicate. And we also know Suzanne Barclay can identify him. There's a chance Gus has learned what we're doing. If he has, he'll be waiting at the chapel for Suzanne.
Killer, huh? Right. And Mrs. Barclay?
Well, Mrs. Barclay and Suzanne look alike. Mrs. Barclay insists on using herself as a decoy. She's going to wear some clothing, which Suzanne left behind. Go to the chapel a bit earlier than Suzanne is expected to get there.
Thinking if Gus is waiting for Suzanne, he'll see Mrs. Barclay first. So that if he does make a move, it'll be against Mrs. Barclay and not Suzanne.
Yeah, that's a brave lady.
She loves her daughter, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant Halverson is covering bus and train terminals in an effort to spot Suzanne before she reaches the chapel. But in case he doesn't, and there's trouble, it'll happen there at the chapel. You see, Frank, you've had the experience, and you've got the ability for this job.
Experience, ability...
And the human understanding to place a girl's life above a fishing trip.
I've been thinking about my trip all winter.
Frank, Jake Dickerson gave up a trip to Bermuda to help us. His editor went out on a limb to help us.
All right, I'll go see Lieutenant Raymond.
Oh, now, wait.
I'd like to sit here and jaw with you, Trag. Really, I would, but I've given you only the bare outline. You know, there's a lot to explain to Lieutenant Raymond.
Okay, Mason.
And you want to go fishing. We'll get out of your way.
I said, okay, Mason. I owe you a favor. I owe you $100.
Trag, I'm not asking you.
I'm asking you to let me handle it.
No, I wouldn't think of Trag. Because if you start thinking about all those beautiful fish, you wouldn't be able to keep your mind on this job. But it's perfectly all right. I hope you catch lots and lots of fish. Huh?
Mason. Martin. Phone the boys and say I'm going to stay in town and go fishing.
I said I'm going fishing in town. Now call him up.
Okay, Mason. I took the bait. Let's go take a look at the ground.
Now, some distance outside the city, Gus Jansen drives past the nightclub headquarters of the syndicate, stops at the huge storage garage located behind the nightclub. Now Gus lifts a leather case containing a powerful hunting rifle, starts to take it into the garage when...
Gus! Gus!
Oh, what's she doing out here?
Oh, Kate!
Hello, Gus. I'm all ready for my driving lesson. I was waiting outside the cabin. I came over when I saw your car.
You shouldn't have walked all the way over.
Why? Oh, you've been so nice to me, Gus. I've always wanted to learn to drive. We never had a car. My father was sick, and then he went to prison. Maybe someday we'll have a car of our own, and I'll already know how to drive. Won't Pa be surprised when I show him? I've been chattering away like a magpie. Are we ready to go?
Kate, I'm terribly sorry, but I have to break our date this afternoon.
Oh.
I have a business appointment. Really, I'm very sorry.
Well, so am I.
But Kate, if there were any way I could get out of this, but there isn't. I've got to keep this appointment.
I understand, Gus.
You're awfully sweet, Katie. I tried to phone you and tell you.
Oh?
Yes, didn't you get my message?
No. I guess somebody forgot.
I guess. I want you to know I didn't forget. I've been looking forward to this afternoon with you. What is it? Oh, you noticed that, huh?
Couldn't help noticing. Isn't it a gun case, Gus?
Why, as a matter of fact, it is. A BB gun, not a real gun. It's a child's toy.
Oh.
Now I'll have to make a confession about my business appointment. A friend of mine has a little boy who was sick all winter long. He's better now. His parents are taking him to the country, and... Well, I'm going to give this to the kid.
Then I'm really not sorry you can't give me a driving lesson.
You think he'll like the prison?
I know he will. Timmy, that's my brother. Timmy always wanted an air rifle.
I heard you mention your brother.
Oh, didn't I?
No, I remember everything you've told me about yourself. Now, what about Tim?
Well, my brother and sister are staying with my aunt. But I think they're coming home. Well, it's still a secret, but Pa's been doing so well at the importing company.
That's Nicholas Importing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Did I tell you?
Of course. I said I remember everything you've ever said.
Apparently I didn't. Anyhow, we think we can bring Timmy and my sister home.
I hope you can, Katie. And if you can, I'll see that Tim gets an air rifle as fine as this one. And I'll take him out in the country and teach him to use it. And that's a promise, Kate.
But... You don't want to take up time with Timmy.
Why not?
Do you like children, Gus?
You sound surprised.
Well, somehow I never thought you...
Well, let's put it this way. Even if I'm not wild about kids, I like the big sister of a kid named Tim Beekman. I like her because she's a lovely, sweet kid herself.
Thank you, Gus.
You sure you're not mad about this afternoon?
Oh, no. I'm glad you're going to do something nice for a little boy.
And I'm glad you're glad. I'll see you, Katie.
Bye, Gus. Tell the little boy hello for me.
Gus Jansen is doubly dangerous because he doesn't seem dangerous. Because even as he smiles pleasantly and speaks politely to a nice young girl, Gus Jansen plots the cold, remorseless murder of Sue Barkley. By all means, join us tomorrow, won't you?